The Sample Axis, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah,
you're listening to the Sample Axis podcast.
The Sample Axis podcast, one more time, one more opportunity to make history with this podcast. We have another pair, actually two pairs of select songs that we want to talk about today. Now we're going to the other side. We have been talking Nigerian music for the last few episodes, but now we have another opportunity to check out some samples on the other side. Of course, like we always do. On the number 5, episode 5, episode 15, episode 10, rounds of 5, is that the way to say it? At the count of, multiples of 5.
Yeah, multiples of 5, that's what we do internationally.
Not to be mathematical, but yeah, now we have episode 55 and it feels good to go again and do this. My name is Boyega, Nelson is here and we're about to, go again like we always do. So today we have 4 pairs. Anything we have to get to before we get to the tea?
Well, not so much.
Some more introduction.
All right, yeah. Nelson, of course. Nelson the main man. Nelson the seasoned guy. Nelson the metrics. That's the name I've been using all this while behind the scenes. But anytime I'm here, I just say Nelson the main man. So I'm letting people know.
You know some ways some ways that other podcasters used to introduce the episode before they get into the real content of
real talk.
Episode is, how did your week go? Because we have not been doing that, and I really don't fancy that. But that's like a thing, right?
Yeah, but do you think I need? I think the reason why we don't do that is because we almost all the time we know how our week has gone, because we have seen each other almost.
We aim to record weekly.
Yeah?
Something like that.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't recall.
But generally, I really don't fancy that. Let's get to the tea and talk about this. Hardaway, Eminem, Lil Wayne, Tracy Chapman, Jonas Blue, Dakota. That's the list of artist names that we have. Of course, there is more. Talking producers and, some other names will drop, record labels, dates and stuff. But those are the names that we have on our plate today, and I'd like Nelson to stretch that further. What do we have?
Yeah, we have 2 pairs of amazing music. Basically, when I say amazing music, I mean amazing music, because what we have in front of us today is awesome and great. These are the kind of things that people feel like people should listen to and hear about. Or when you come to Sample Axis and you're clicking and you're saying, this is what I want to listen to, we're giving you greatness, basically. Alright, so we have Tracy Chapman, Hardaway. Now you think about it and you're like, Tracy Chapman to Hardaway is like years apart or miles apart or light years apart in terms of... I'm talking about like two different the peers, where the peers are coming from. Yeah. Where the songs that we're talking about were birthed from. Mm. You understand? Mm. So Tracy Chapman and Hardaway.
That's an era. Is that the same era?
Same era, and it's so crazy that, almost the same years, you understand? I mean, Fast Car, 1988.
Yeah.
Then 5 years after, Hardaway dropped Hardaway the album.
Yeah.
So when you think about it musically, it's like almost the same era.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying when you say almost the same era, but because
what was the flagship?
That's New Jack Swing. That's the year of New Jack Swing, 1888 down to
93.
But then these guys were not doing New Jack Swing. They were doing two different kind of music.
Extremes.
Eurodance and folk rock. I'm not saying Hardaway sampled Tracy Chapman. I'm saying these two songs.
That's why I wanted songs
that birthed the songs we're about to talk about.
The pairs today.
Yeah, the pairs today.
So break it down.
So I'm going to break it down for you now. Jonas Blue in 2015 sampled Tracy Chapman's Fast Car. Now the name of the song for Jonas Blue is also called Fast Car. Now on the other side we have.
Is this still called Sample?
Yeah, this one is it's a sample. Because he redid the sound.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, redid the sound. I know what I mean by saying redid the sound. So the other part, we have Hardaway being sampled by Eminem and Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Now that's an iconic sample. I'll tell you why. I think that to that time, that was the hardest I heard from both of them on a record together.
Before we get into that, let's pick a side. And pick our first beat. I think we should start with Tracy Chapman. Is that okay? Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's cool.
That sounds like the part where I might be most useful on this episode, because I'm a big fan of Tracy Chapman. I can't trace back where I started to learn about her. The 90s or 80s hip-hop R&B playlist everywhere at the time when I was growing up would always have people like Mariah Carey and Toni Braxton.
Yeah.
I'm sure
Mariah Carey was a lot, you know. Yeah, but let's go on.
I'm sure somewhere in that mix I must have heard the name Tracy Chapman.
Yeah, I'm very sure.
What if I told you that the image I had of Tracy Chapman before I heard the music was that sounds like the name of a man? I can't explain how I came about that, but the name I really don't know.
Do you know the Pointer Sisters?
Not much.
This song, Automatic. I have a feeling that I've said this before. Maybe I haven't. The Pointer Sisters have Anita, Ruth, and June Pointer. That's like the three. They are a trio. Now Anita has the sonorous voice, and then I don't know who it is. Jude and I, that's my friend that we do Blast from the Past together. We always have this, you know, is it Ruth or is it June? That has the very masculine voice. And that's why I'm going back, because I want to talk Tracy Chapman now. Tracy Chapman, maybe nowhere near these people in terms of the voice, you know, texture. So maybe that's why, because I've heard the Pointer Sisters do Automatic. I mean, so I would never think of Tracy Chapman being, or just jumping into a conclusion because of the name, and I've heard the song, think, oh yeah, yeah, she's probably a man. So you would understand to an extent why, you know, I never had that issue. I just, you know, I heard Tracy Chapman, I'm like, yeah, Tracy is the name of, even till recently, I didn't know Tracy could be the name of a guy, if I'm being sincere. You know, I know Tracy Ellis Ross. I mean, I found out about Tracy Chapman like later on in life. I didn't find out like the early stages. So Tracy Ellis Ross, those were names I knew. There were a lot of Tracys that are like, you know, female names. Until I found out about Tracy McGrady. Is it McGrady? The basketballer. That's when I think I got to understand that, ah, wow. So guys can be named Tracy too. I don't think that's a very, you know, masculine name, so I never thought about her being masculine.
I don't think it was about name for me. It was just about, you know, a child. And there's a way, there are some weird random moments where you just assume stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, true. That happens a lot though.
So I'm sure this was my, you know, early teen years and stuff. And I think there was a point I heard, okay, so there's the Jide Olanrewaju documentary about the story of Nigeria, which, by the way, I have said that before on this podcast, that documentary has the best selection of music that I've seen in a documentary, right?
So, yeah.
On that documentary, there's a part where the story of Nigeria then leads to some kind of revolution, right? I guess it's the part where Kaduna Zogu and the rest of the guys, Ife Ajuna, led that coup in 1966. So, the use of that song, Don't You Know, talking about a revolution, sounds like a whisper.
Like a whisper.
So it was from there that I think I solidified my assumption that this voice and, you know, this song I'm hearing sounds like it comes from a man, until I then started to, much later, I researched and I saw, oh, it's a woman. And of course, I learned that. Tracy Chapman is iconic in many ways. The way we arrange playlists, you know, as a young boy, when you listen to songs or you look at a playlist and you look at the names, especially in blues and R&B, Baby, I Love You, there's a Tracy Chapman song titled Baby, Can I Hold You Tonight, I think. And, you know, these slow love songs. She was always on those playlists where they talk about love songs and, you know, R&B vibes and, you know, Mary J. Blige, Mariah Carey, I'm sure Ashanti at some point and all of that. Apparently she's, you know, different from, she's in a different class of music when it comes to, because I think she identifies, or the genre is identified as country, folk, and, you know, the use of the guitar. What's the official genre Tracy Chapman does?
Folk rock. Yeah.
But country is somewhere in there.
Yeah, obviously, because the idea and even the way you perceive the genre for listening for the first time, you probably think, yeah, this is country. So this folk country. Rock. even online, you might want to do something they call tropical rock.
Mm.
I don't understand the concept of that.
Mm. But that's a vibe.
That's a vibe, basically.
So, the much, of course, we can go back and forth about the story of Tracy Chapman as much as we know. But maybe I should talk about her persona. She has a very... You know what they call... You know what we classified Susan Vega as?
Abameda.
Abameda kind of vibe.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, the deep thinkers, not necessarily philosophers, the way they speak, the way they talk, they're different. They are, I don't know if misfits is the word. They are just different. They have a different aura.
Yeah.
Calm, cool, collected.
It's like guys that see the world music is differently. Different. Yeah.
And then if you look at her, she grew her dreads from that young age
up
to today, I believe. I'd like to believe there's something about her, about that for her.
I don't think she grew her dreads from the beginning, though. I think it was maybe at some point in her life. Because
But if you look at earlier stuff from 93.
Earlier stuff from like yeah, because in the late 90s, I don't think she had the long dreads.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she had the long dreads. Okay,
but there's something significant about...
Yeah, that, yeah. It's like a representation look. Of
that's
who she is.
That's her default look.
Yeah.
And the dreads are, you know, older.
And she's always... She dresses like... She dresses very mild. Like, you can see that she's not very...
She's not very fashionist.
No, not fashion. Like, it seems like she picked that...
Can we use the word nerd?
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe loosely, yeah. We can, but, you know, you just kind of...
And does she dress like a man?
No, not really. But she's just very calm in her dressing, yeah.
Not lousy with the dressing.
Yeah, not loud. The dressing is not loud at all. It's not... She could be in a crowd and you wouldn't notice.
Yeah, she's also very... I don't have the best words, but she doesn't care.
Mystical?
Mystical, yes. And she doesn't necessarily want you... She has a calm, very calm vibe. She's not the turn-up person. She doesn't really care if you want to turn up or not, because I've seen performances where people necessarily have to pay attention
to what she's saying.
Watch and listen. That's what I want you to do. I'm not trying to turn you up. I'm not Leo this or that. But I'm just listen to the song. That leads me to... Before we get to Fasca, there's another story about the producer who had made her album, and then one more song, Fasca, came through, and he was meant to rearrange the song, and he said, no, we have to leave the story like that because of what it represents and the build up.
You're talking about David Kesherbaum.
Yes. But the long and short about her, the much I've seen, is that she's mystical, and I just love that, because people like that are... You know, Rare, that's Fela, that's Susan Vega, and I dare say Beautiful Nubia. Beautiful Nubia, you know, I don't know if Lagbaja enters that.
Lagbaja, obviously. Lagbaja should be in that scene, because if we are bringing him back, if we are trying to, like, put...
You know, when you choose not to reveal...
Yeah.
Because of some situation. Uncle Tunji Oyelano, I don't
know. Amazing.
So, Uncle...
Molo Soko.
Yes, those are people who... personify the art in a different way, if I can say that. So yeah, I'll let you go.
Yeah, so like, I mean, still talking about Tracy Chapman, she's just, you know, she's enigmatic, basically, and it's obvious. Her best song for me is Give Me a Reason. Now, Give Me a Reason is, you know, some sort of a love song, you know. Give me a reason to love you. Give me a reason to care. Give me a reason to cherish you. She didn't say it directly like that, but you could tell, like we say, in all of her songs, there's always like an underlying message, something that we need to understand very well, understand correctly, because she doesn't play with her words and how she puts them. And I think, and this, you know, this might have come from the idea of, I don't want my work to look like any other person's work. And you can also say big ups to her producer, David Kesherbaum. He gave her an ideology while she was recording her first album in 1988 called Tracy Chapman, which is the album that this came out from. Is that, you know, when you perceive songs, or when you get songs from wherever you get songs from, in terms of like inspiration, whether it's your head or from a feeling or from a story, you stick with it, and it just gives you that edge over a lot of people. And you have to, you know, say big ups to her as well. She has a wonderful voice, an amazing musical voice. And also, she has sonic powers. When I mean sonic powers, I mean like she understands how to merge sounds. Like she will use the smallest of sounds to make something beautiful. For the longest of time, she would always like, you know, play songs. She would always like play songs or do songs with just her guitar, and that was something that was really cool. And you know, the song itself, the Fast Car is such a deep song, because and it's so dragged. And you, to think about the transition of the song from being a folk rock song to becoming an Eurodance song, which Jonas Blue, 501 million views on YouTube. That shows you how massive that song, you know, became. Again, after almost 20 years is like 2008, and then you're talking about like over almost 27 years.
Yeah.
And it shows you how much. And she was so young. We can't take it away from the fact that she was so young when she did the song.
Yeah.
I think she was barely into her 20s. You understand? I mean, something 1988. Like she's 54 now.
Yeah.
So, like, you understand?
Take,
like, she was,
take 30 years away.
Yeah, so she was born in, like, late 60s. Maybe yeah. 67, 68.
Mm.
68, I think. 68. So
that was her entrance into the debut industry.
Album. And then she dropped powerful songs off that album, yeah. You know? It just shows. I know we always say something about how debut albums are always very important. And you have to say big ups to her as well. She stuck with the status quo of the time. For example, Teddy Pendergrass dropped his first album in 1977, named it Teddy Pendergrass. He released another album in 1988, that's 11 years after, named it TP, because he was trying to, you know, rebrand himself. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like a phase.
Yeah.
1980, sorry, 3 years after, 1980, TP. Now, you could have called it Teddy Pendergrass, but it felt like, no, TP is a good way. Because why?
Which always, is basic, by the way.
Yeah?
Basic.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they didn't want to. I think it was an idea of don't go too far from who you are.
Mm.
Like, let it be evident in your album that this is a representation of you.
So I'm going to take the second verse. Well, it's a verse. It's a build-up of three verses before the chorus came in on the song Fast Car. Essentially, the song is about living in a poor family and trying to survive, trying to get out of the small town, go to the city and survive. So the second verse goes, "You got a fast car. You got a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. I've been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living." Essentially, from that, you know, if you listen to the song and follow the entire story all the way down, you see that the character in her, in the song, had an alcoholic father who was dealing with, you know, some personal problems. They were poor, and the character was falling in love with another poor guy in the town. And it was just like, do you have a car? Do you have a fast car so we can just move and go to the next town or go to the city?
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to save up from where I worked. And some of those stories, like she shared in interviews, are personal, where she had worked as, you know, some odd jobs in town. She said she was in Boston early days. And then, you know, the story goes on. And that story is the soul of the song. It's not the beat. It doesn't make you dance per se. But that's very, very emotional story of, which is familiar, of trying to get a job, trying to work on jobs to survive, which is the reality of many even today. Like, you're stuck in a small town, like, yo, what's up? There's something happening on the other side. I don't have so much, but I'm going to move anyway. So it's a very relatable song. And then Jonas Blue, which is where we then cross. I hate that we might be missing some Tracy Chapman tea.
Well, the thing is, but you know,
is it okay to cross over now to Jonas Blue?
Well, let's still you know, play around a little bit on the Tracy Chapman story. Now, you know, moving on to the fact that you said something about the fast car, and then it was was explicit in the lyrics that she actually literally meant fast car. But you know, thinking about this story and the context of the story in general, you know, it is way deeper than the fast car.
Mm.
Fast car is like, I need something to push me to leave this space that I'm in, and that could mean a lot to different people. For example, it could be, you know, somewhere that might
but
be
it sounds to me like
depressed, and then you are looking for a way out, and you sounds need something to me like to inspire you.
The very concept of the titling the song Fast Car means she must have seen a dope ass car around town and be like, yo,
it could be possible.
This is a good way to move.
Yeah, it could be possible. But what I'm trying to say is, even though the fast car
could be a play on words.
Originally could, you know, it's like it could serve as a double entendre.
Yeah.
You know, it could be that, you know, there was literally a fast car, and it could also be that it meant something deeper in terms of, you know, you want to say, oh yeah, I'm looking for a way out. I need something. That fast car could be the P. You know, you need something to push you away. Yeah. You know, that main thing to push you out of whatever it is that you have or whatever it is that you're in.
Mm.
And that gives the song a new light anytime. So for somebody with different perspective that is listening to the song, so people with different perspectives will be able to say, okay, I'm in a dire situation right now, and I need this to push me out. This might be, I need money to push me out. I need a fast car, literally, to push me out.
Mm.
I need.
But you're missing the part of the guy. Do you have a fast car?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the story.
Do you have
itself,
some motivation to take me out of here?
Exactly. I'm saying the story itself would be perceived differently by thousands
anybody,
of people.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it powerful. You know, I'm going to say this thing again. I say this all the time. Songs with simple words.
Yeah.
Are the most powerful words.
Simple stories.
Simple stories, simple words. Like, you have such a difficult song. I need to go back to this because recently I've been seeing a lot of things about Michael Jackson, you know, just random. I'm just going to put this in. It kind of works in what I'm trying to talk about here. I've been seeing a lot of stuff about Michael Jackson lately, and then people talking about how majestic he was, how influential, how such a beautiful person he was during his lifetime. And then, you know, it just sounded to me immediately. It clicked on me again. I'm like, some of these guys' most powerful songs are so simple. Heal the World.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's no big vocabulary in that song.
Speechless.
There's no big word that makes you say, ah, I need to open my dictionary and check what exactly is happening here.
Not like Eminem on.
That's what that genre calls for.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that genre calls for.
Embedded.
It says, be always on your toes and be thinking.
You have to be a wordsmith.
I mean, like, yeah, exactly, a wordsmith. I mean, even CL Smooth or P-Trock on the microphone, Rakim Allah, they're doing something. They want, even though the words are simple, they want you to go and say, yeah, there's a rhythm here.
Yeah.
Go on and check in the dictionary. I'm about to
there's
teach you
an
a lesson.
Arrangement.
Yeah, exactly. That's just beautifully evident in the song. The song I was thinking about, two songs exactly, Speechless and Heal the World. I heard the song again yesterday, and it just kind of like, it hit me so much. I'm like, there's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. These are words that, as a guy, on like,
and that's the same energy
on your regular day, you want to check it, babe, and you're not trying to be too fancy. These are the words you would say,
which is what life is really.
Exactly.
You don't have to be complicated.
You don't have to be too fancy. And then the fast car, you know, being as powerful as it is, the reason why we're laying so much, you know, on this is because of how good Tracy Chapman is.
The other part of Tracy Chapman, the song talking about revolution, you just mentioned one of your best songs, the best song by her that you
give
me a reason. There are others, Bang Bang Bang. There is another one, Baby, Can I Hold You Tonight? There is another one. She has had many big moments, you know, on stage. Baby, Can I Hold You? And then you talk about Sing For You.
Yeah, she has 8. I was very close. She has 8 studio albums, 2 compilation albums, and 22 singles over a span of almost 30 plus years.
You're the One, This Time, My Hometown, Knocking on Heaven's Door, Crossroads, talking about a revolution, and many, many songs. So on stage here, she has had very big moments, stadiums, doing, you know, the road life, going from city to city, performing across America on the biggest stages. We've had many covers of her song. You know, many young artists have acknowledged. In fact, there is a case of Nicki Minaj. Talk about this Do Not Sample List thing.
Oh yeah, let's get to that before we move to Jonas Blue.
Which led, you know, the case is that Nicki Minaj was making a song, and she had used a line on "Baby Can I Hold You," a line or two or three lines from Tracy Chapman's song on her song, changing the genre, changing the idea.
Yeah, changing the real
essence of the song.
Whiskey
should start to charge for that word.
I don't think so.
No, I'm just saying. I'm kidding. But every time that word gets used in context of music, whiskey gets mentioned in
exactly.
a way. And Thames.
Time is of the essence.
So $450,000 gets paid to...
$75,000. This is like the fourth time I'm telling you this.
$475,000 gets paid to Tracy Chapman's team because it's actually a settlement. It's not exactly a case. Yeah. Settlement for bridging, you know, for going ahead.
I feel like maybe there are a couple of things that happened behind the scenes that we do not know about.
Mm.
Because when you think about it, the song wasn't released. It was just, you know, a slip up basically. And then you know, it was heard and they attacked immediately. And it just showed like, that's what we're talking about when we said the no sample list. When we're talking about the fact that you don't just, there are some people you don't mess with. When it comes to this sample thing, you don't mess with them because, like, they don't play with their music. They don't play with their music at all. They let you know, they let you know before time. It's like Sting. I'm sure we've spoken about Sting at one point where Sting will come at you, and we have other artists like that they don't like people to, you know, mess around with their stuff. And you check back again and you see that Tracy Chapman was really, really very, very vocal about the fact that she doesn't like our stuff being sampled. You understand? I mean, she's not saying don't sample it at all, but you would need to go through the right process. And when I mean the right process, I don't just mean getting, you know, the opportunity to sample it. I'm saying, Tracy Chapman saying, I like this song. I like the idea of your song. I think it's good to go. You understand? And we can see that evidently on the song that we're going to be talking about now, Jonas Blue, Fast Car. Now, Jonas Blue, we did the song. The reason why we're calling this a sample and not a cover is because there are a lot of, you know, different approaches that we got from this song. The vibe is different, the energy is different, the strings are different, the keyboards, the, you know, flow. And of course, it's changing from a traditional folk rock song to an Eurodance song. Now, British DJ Jonas Blue, 2015, releasing that song, he produced the song. And he also said something about the fact that he didn't even know the song was going to be that so much of a hit because he knew the song was personal to him because he had heard the song before and the song made a lot of sense to him. I'm sure he's one of those people that saw it in different light. He wasn't one of those people that said, oh yeah, I want to drive a fast car. Because he was talking about the fact that it meant a lot to him and his mom. So that means they connected to that song a different way.
Mm.
You understand? There was something. It could be the voice. It could be the story behind it. It could be the fact that he showed them a glimmer of hope. Something made them connect to that song.
Mm.
And Jonas Blue said, okay, I would love, even that enough is a pitch good enough for me as an artist, if I am an artist, to let you use my song. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you come up to me and be like, mom, I'm a DJ, I make beautiful music, this is what I do, and your song is a song that meant a lot to me.
Do you know that? Sorry to stop you. These stories could be part of another podcast, even though it's meant for us. This content is ours, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How samples get cleared podcasts. That's an idea, but I hope nobody takes it so that we can embed it to this. So,
yeah.
Approach. Look at that.
Matches a lot.
Look at the story about, you know.
I mean, the Sting story.
The 444 story.
Exactly.
What's the 444 story? What's her name? I've forgotten. Affirmations. Mm. I had.
Catering something and affirmations.
Nah, I have to remember now. Jay-Z making that call by himself.
Midnight and Heartbreaks by Canon Kenny.
No.
Performed by Hannah Hathaway.
Hannah Hathaway? No.
Hannah Williams
and the Affirmations.
It was written by Canon Kenny.
Oh, okay. Jay-Z making that call to Hannah Williams himself.
Mm-hmm.
That moment in history is iconic. That's a story Hannah Williams should tell on an episode of the podcast. And that's the same for, you know, Jonas Blue, Tracy Chapman.
Yeah.
Eminem might not have to call Hathaway. It might just be agent to agent.
I mean, yeah, it might just, you know, be a proper meal or something.
So I love the idea that, you know, this song makes me feel a certain way. I want to do something with it. Look at Frozen, Sidekick. I said Sidekick. Sidekick doing something with Frozen by Madonna.
Yeah.
And then we put Fireboy on that song. Sick Kick was probably playing with something. It becomes viral on TikTok or online. And Madonna, yo, let's do something good with it. I don't know the story, but that's a story that would fly on another segment of the Sample Axis when we're ready to scale. But yeah, we love those things. Like you were saying, Jonas Blue connects to the song in a special way, and that's important. But there are the others. There's Wild Thoughts by DJ Khaled, where he samples Wyclef Jean.
Yeah.
And then that's another story.
Yeah, that's another story. We'll probably get to that later because obviously that's an episode on its
own. Anything we should talk about, Dakota, she was the vocalist
on
that
Dakota
song.
Yeah, I think Dakota was a friend of, I hope they're still friends.
Jonas?
Jonas Blue, a friend of Jonas Blue, and he told her because she had never done anything like this before. Mm. She does music too, but you know, nothing like that. And then he told her that, you know, you could just...
Yeah, just...
We're not going to be able to... I'm sure the conversation must have been, we might not be able to get Mama into the studio.
Mm-hmm, but
Mama is still, I'm talking about now, is Tracy Chapman.
Only Jay-Z does that. Jay-Z brought in, I think he had
the opportunity
Hannah
to
Williams revoice
parts of the song, that song. Yeah. So like, you know, I mean, different levels, different time. You know, she might have been busy at that time. She might have not wanted to record. So talking about this Dakota thing, he said he brought her in and she was, you know, skeptical at first because she hadn't done the song like that before. And he said, you know what, I feel like you're the right person for this. I think Jonas Blue is going to take this and say, one of the best work I've ever done in my life. I'm not saying it's going to be his best, because next year, I mean, we're still in 2022.
And there are so many songs he might
He might release something new and it becomes bigger than that song.
Hmm.
But I'm saying that he would have said, I got it right here. Because 501 million for YouTube views, that's a lot.
There's actually more.
A lot.
On Spotify and the rest of
it's
them.
It's more.
So there is probably billion now.
Yeah, exactly. So like, it's a whole lot.
And a few other people, Nice and Smooth, you should know them.
Yeah.
Name of a hip-hop group.
Yeah.
And Wayne Wonder, reggae guy, they have both done something with Fast Car.
Nice and Smooth, I'm trying to remember. It sounds like Petrock and CL Smooth.
The Public Enemy era.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like Petrock and CL Smooth.
Possibly. It's the same thing with Run DMC, I believe.
Yeah, Run DMC.
That era. Criss Cross was around that time.
Criss Cross was in the 90s.
Later.
Yeah, 90s.
So Wayne Wonder did a reggae version of, you know, Fast Car. And, you know, like you said, it's ranked 160 what?
167 on the 500 greatest songs of all time.
Greatest songs of all time. That's big.
Big, massive.
So that sounds like money for life.
Yeah, almost. I think so.
Yeah.
It depends on how much the song is going to be used. But then you think about it, because of the way she is and how she, you know, loves her songs, she might not be the most
sampled, or she might not be getting royalties.
Person. Because think about it, she's with Elektra Records. So,
time to flip.
Yeah.
Hathaway, Eminem, Lil Wayne. How far apart?
1993 to 2010. So that's 17 years.
17 years. What are the flagships, or what are the keywords around these songs? Eurodance.
Eurodance and turning to rap, which is, you know, quite cool, because I like what we just did now. We moved from folk rock to dance, and now we're moving from dance to
rap. Do you call Jonas Blue dance instead of EDM? EDM is dance.
Electronic dance music.
Music, yeah. So dance.
So yeah,
dance.
You can call it EDM too, but dance music would encompass whatever it
and
is.
And that's Stevie Aoki.
Yeah.
Clean Bandits. Mm,
God bless his soul. Avicii.
Yeah, Avicii. So yeah, Eurovision, Eurodance to hip hop. What was Eminem thinking with the Recovery album? Where was hip hop in 2010?
Hathaway was very big. Hathaway's song.
Euro songs are generally very big.
Yeah, but this one is
like ABBA.
Yeah, it's like ABBA, but you know, ABBA, they're Swedish guys. But then this Hathaway song, I knew the song before I even knew. No, no.
Baby, don't hurt me. It's like Grady Harrell for me.
Exactly.
Belinda,
oh,
hey.
Belinda. You know, the
imaging looks the same.
Yeah, so perfect. And then,
and if you push it forward, return of the man, which is hip hop.
Exactly. I mean, like,
is that hip hop? No, R&B.
No, not R&B. And then you remember what G-Mac, G-Eazy did with Return of the Mac.
Guala, 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 guala.
Oh, and you know, and stuff like that. So yeah, Eurodance is not weird to Americans to hear that.
Mm.
There's this thing I used to talk about on my show, and I think I might need to bring it here. There was a time where, especially when MTV came into like Limelight in 1981, MTV came into Limelight in 1981, they needed songs to be packed on the TV screen. And as at that time, loads of American artists were not doing videos. So what will happen is, they had people in Europe that were always doing, in Europe that were always doing videos. So they would bring them, and they used to call them promotional videos.
Mm.
So the idea of promotional videos became a thing, right? So that's what made America to digest most songs, for example, from the UK, from the US, and then
Sweden.
Although this has started in the 70s, because you have people like Boney M coming into the fray, Frank Farian, that guy nailed it. When I mean Frank Farian nailed it, Frank Farian knew what he was doing.
Where are Boney M from?
Boney M, Germany.
Oh, okay.
Which is the same country Hathaway's from.
Alphaville, Germany.
They're not from Germany, because these guys were brought from Aruba, different sites, but they
Trinidadian German.
No, I'm not even talking about, I was talking about Boney M now.
Oh, okay, okay.
For example, now the guy was brought from Aruba, you know, I can't remember his name right now. And the ladies too, they were brought from all those places like Orangestad, Williamstad. So they came together, but then they were situated in Germany. Same thing with these guys. I need to remember their name. They're very, very important to this talk. Two guys, dreads.
Oh.
Milli Vanilli.
I don't know.
Yeah, Milli Vanilli. Yeah.
What were they doing?
Music.
Reggae.
Yeah, they were doing
the Shine Head. Reggae. No, they were doing the story. Fit the story.
Who?
The Shine Head.
No, Shine Head is a superstar.
I'm talking about cross cultures.
Okay, yeah.
Jamaica,
because
UK.
Because if you push Shine Head here, you know why if you push Shine Head here, it's like Shine Head will just make all of them look small.
Not like that. That's not the context. Like Jamaican.
Oh, yeah. Coming into the UK in and UK. Then blowing up in the US.
Yeah.
But that's what Shine Head properly integrated into the US.
Yeah.
Like Shabarant. No.
Into the US. When the time came.
Yeah. He did Jamaican in New York. He integrated into the US.
Yeah.
I mean, you see most of his video. Try My Love was in somewhere in Massachusetts or somewhere in Memphis.
I need to listen to that song again.
Yeah, you know, it's a banger. And then, you know, you have Milli Vanilli, you know, doing their thing, even though that's one of the biggest scams in music industry, because they were just there as
Do you remember Bonnie Mack? Does it fit the story? I'm taking you too far.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to
Bonnie,
you know,
Mack. Nah, because nah, I, those names come up.
Yeah, those
from Sierra Leone,
so they moved
to the UK.
Yeah, they moved. But I'm talking about guys during that. Guys that actually, you know, they got up there.
Hmm.
They put them like in that platform of A-list artists. Milli Vanilli, biggest scam in the music industry. I think at some point we need to do an episode. I'm saying this right now so that everybody knows. Prepare your mind. Maybe some
biggest scams.
The biggest scam.
No, let's just scam so that it's not just one person.
Oh, okay.
You know Waka Flocka?
Yeah, I know Waka Flocka.
That's self-admitted.
Yeah.
That's a banger. Drop the banger.
Shit.
By the way, random. That's a random one. I'm going to do it. And today I thought about another episode, which is, let me not forget this thing. I was listening to Elton John. God.
Candle in the Wind.
God, I cannot forget this. Just give me a minute to recollect. I was thinking about, is it songwriters? Is it special songs? It can't be special songs because we already did that. But I think I was listening to Elton John's Candle in the Wind and... you know, I hate that I've forgotten, but there's an episode somewhere in there, maybe about songwriters, maybe about genres. I remember much ado about genres. Let's talk about all the genres there are in music. Nice. That's an episode. Hathaway, right? Cross cultures, Shine Head, and the rest of them.
Yeah. So, and you know, you love the idea of Hathaway. I think with this few guys that we have, you know, spoken about, we have one way or the other explained how much of an influence Hathaway was during his time. I mean, that album had Love, which was a big one of the album.
What
is Love? Then it had another particular song.
The album is titled The Album, and it's funny. So there's Life, there is I Miss You, Rock My Heart, and he looks like a star boy, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like, fresh guy. Fresh guy. Representing.
But that voice is something.
Yeah, yeah.
What is Love? And which is iconic. Eminem made it an iconic 2010 to 2020 or that decade.
Maybe a classic song.
A classic sample.
It can be. You can put it, because first and foremost, the song we're talking about, so that people understand the idea of what we're talking right now, Eminem, Lil Wayne.
No Love.
Now that song, it was crazy in 2010.
Yeah, it was. That's a
it
rap
was
song.
Huge, because
it's heavy. It's fast, but people learned the lyrics.
It was
wild, and that was peak Lil Wayne.
Exactly,
that was prime Lil Wayne.
This is like one of those songs where, you know what, I'm sure basically, okay, let's play from directly from
just 10 seconds or thereabout. No Love, it was really big.
You don't need to go anywhere, you just sit down and relax. We'll play the song for you right here.
No Love, Eminem, 580 million. Do you have any idea what the song is about?
No Love.
You show me nothing but hate. And Eminem was the thing at that time. With that song with Rihanna.
It was recovery. It was like coming back.
Yeah.
You guys show me love. I got no love, but now I'm back again.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Lil Wayne's rap, though.
This is a sample.
Yeah.
No more.
Young Money. Yeah.
This was the height of Young Money.
Wildflower, but it's the world.
Yeah,
get a child louder. Yeah, my life will be, but you know nothing about her. Been to hell and back. I can show you vouchers. I'm smoking
sour.
Hold on.
She broke her vows. That's why my bars are full of broken bottles, and my nightstands are full of open Bibles.
Yeah.
Think about more than I forget. But I'm
this verse was the shit that day.
Oh,
this verse,
yo,
this particular.
You know,
do you think he smoked Eminem? I think he did.
He did. It was his.
And this was
crazy.
Prime Lil Wayne.
Yo, I see. Let me see that well. See, this song, it was. We didn't know we needed that song.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so
and again,
good.
Before you go on, this is not the regular song. Beats move in twos and fours.
Yeah.
This was going in threes and fives.
Yeah.
Because it was slapping like a reverb kind of thing, and both rappers came through on that vibe, on that abnormal energy, if you get my point, on that abnormal beat and flow. This is not the regular hip-hop song. And they went in 45 seconds. 1 minute, 20 seconds, both of them were rapping wild. And like we agree, Lil Wayne out-rapped M on that song.
Smoked him! Because, see, you know, this is Eminem. Eminem is arguably one of the best rappers of all time. And
top,
I'm saying
top,
this
top
full chest. Top three.
Which is, again, agreeable.
I mean, Jay-Z would even say Eminem is in the question. The white boy is in the question.
Yeah.
Just to show you how, like, the respect is everywhere. Lil Wayne. I mean, I think recently Lil Wayne still said, like, in one of his recent works and, like, interviews.
And the good thing is, again, lists will always cause fights.
Exactly. But everybody...
Because
everybody
Eminem also mutually respects J. Cole and says,
exactly,
you can't fault J. Cole.
You
J.
See,
Cole, right now, 2022,
yeah,
J. Cole has the best
stuff,
verse
hot stuff
yet
hot
this
stuff
year.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's right here until
Kendrick
comes.
Yo, I was about to say that.
So,
you know,
different eras, different goats.
Exactly. So, like, and then, you know, this guy's two goats of that era. I mean, I was listening to We Taking Over sometime before we came on air.
Khaled.
And then, yeah, I remember that, you know, one CD at a time. And I remember that, you know, there was a Lil Wayne verse somewhere there. Powerful verse. And just reminded you of how... And then you remember Mirrors on the Wall. Remember the mad songs. Amele, like, Amele,
yeah,
which is, we call Amele here.
Yeah.
Amele, but like, she was just... hot.
Do you know Leather So Soft?
My Leather So Soft.
My
Tap
So Soft.
Come on.
Do you know the album Like Father Like Son, Birdman, Lil Wayne?
Yo.
Lil Wayne was rap, was hip hop at that time.
Yo. And
2010,
I think
08 to 2010.
I think that's what makes Drake that guy. And I'll tell you why I'm putting Drake here. Drake did a song that time. Drake was in a song, Play Hard. Take a picture, girl. I'm just looking for a town. I ain't ever graduated.
I mean, Kata 1, 2, 3.
See, Young Money, Cash Money.
That was it.
Oh,
and look at it right now. Nicki is GOAT. Drake is GOAT.
I mean, like, and these people give all the opportunity they have. They say Lil Weezy, Birdman, these guys that brought us up here.
Yeah, that was a real gang.
Represent. Do you understand? We're trying to talk about how big that rap era was for every other person that listened to music. You can just take your time and listen out to these guys. Sometimes they might use, you know, profane words, but still, you can't take it away from them that they are magical beings in terms of what they do. And they took a song from 1993 and they made it a classic. I can tell you...
Well, that's sampling, though. Let's not make it sound like they did something good. The spectacular thing they did is a rap. But sampling is, you know...
Yeah, Hadaway was good. Hadaway could have been put in that high level of one of the best records. But then, Lil Wayne and Eminem, 17 years after, said, you know what?
Let's flip this.
This is great. And then you think about the song now, and you're like, this is a madness.
Yeah.
This is a madness.
So much more about Hadaway.
And his name is Nestor Alexander Hadaway, a Trinidadian-born German American singer. What is Love reached number one in 13 countries, and of course, you know, the man is 65 this year, known for Eurodance and Electronica, which you can tell. He currently stays in Germany, but you know, represents Cologne, Germany. And he's a big man, basically. Proper discography has the album that was done. That's the name of the album that this album was released in 1993. He had in 1995 The Drive, in 1998 Let's Do It, in 2002 My Face, 2005 Pop Splits, and Gotta Be, in 2011 a couple of compilation albums as well. This man is, you know, a great man all in all, because you know, you check out and you see stuff he did. He had an amazing career. You know, at some point, there's like, you know, a logotype that is used to represent Hadaway. What is Love? What's a big jam? Such a big jam that in Germany, he sold 900,000 copies, which is a lot. In the UK, you know, he sold over 400,000. He reached number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100, which is a major big deal. Big deal, major, major big deal. You understand? Hadaway was, he was one of those guys that, you know, he got his opportunity to do something and he did it well.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, he performed at the Super Bowl. The song was featured on Diet Pepsi's Max advertisement in 2008, and that's big money. Because I mean, the ad had people like LL Cool J, Missy Elliott, and Busta Rhymes, and this was 2 years. I mean, this could have even be the rethink time. Although I'm very sure Eminem knew that song before then, but I'm sure, like, that's, you know, that just reminded him again, whoa, you know, this guy is good.
Yeah. Back to M and Lil Wayne, there's so much to say. These are people who come up in our conversation, so
yeah,
we can let it go until another time, because I'm sure we'll be doing one of those two goats one more time.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
There's a mixtape episode that we talked a little bit about Lil Wayne, and then, you know, yeah, but I'm glad we were able to talk about, because more importantly, more than anything, I get to learn when we do this pod. So it's about the people who we don't get to talk about a lot, people like Tracy Chapman, Hadaway, and, you know, giving them shine.
Yeah, and Jonas Blue, that I never knew before.
Jonas Blue. So, the GOATs, M and Lil Wayne, they did that thing.
Yeah, they did that thing, and, you know, it's a beautiful song.
This sample from Hadaway is reminiscent of Young Forever, Alphaville, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
So, hip-hop guys, I think, are the best samplers, obviously. That's the culture.
That's what the culture is built on.
Yeah.
So, they know how to do this.
Yeah.
They will take any song. I mean, rappers sample rappers.
Speaking of which, our interview with Payback, he mentioned, which is where we should get to work, he mentioned some old music that he would love to sample maybe in the future, even though he's supposed to send us a few names to do some research on. At that boy band song, and he told us during that interview, I've checked them out. I don't know if you have. Their name, I can't remember their names. I think it's the Lagos 70s Jump something, but that was where he got that sample for boy band from, which is what I wish more Nigerians do: sample our own music, sample Hubert Ogunde, sample Ebenezer Obey. Some of them have done it, but I want that hip hop sample. Mode 9 has done SAB, late SAB, which is, you know, dope. So I think we should represent some of our own old stuff as well. Evietna Ogoli, Onyeka Onwenu, some of these tunes are there. Maybe not just hip hop, Afrobeats guys too can do it, and you know, you know, clear samples properly. And yeah, this has been a good episode.
Very good one. I enjoyed every part of this episode.
We'll catch you again next time. Anything we should plug before we go?
You guys listen and make sure you try and share, you know, to share to your friends. Let them know about the podcast. We really appreciate everybody that goes all the way to listen from the beginning till the end. We do this research for you.
Thank you.
We bring the knowledge together for you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You know who said that? Thank you. Oh, okay. You don't know. It's Bernie Sanders.
Oh, okay.
That's one of these Bernie rallies.
Sanders. Oh, yeah.
The rally, I mean, the... Why am I talking politics? The convention where
Hillary... Great guy is like, he's an all-round guy, so I'm sorry.
Hillary Clinton won. Yo, they applause Hillary Clinton defeated Bernie Sanders, or maybe he conceded for her. I don't remember. But he mounted the stage to address the Democratic National Congress, DNC in America, and the crowd won't stop for 5 minutes. Some babes were crying.
Wow.
I love you so much, Bernie. They won't stop. So for like 2 minutes, it was, thank you. When he says thank you, another round of crying will go.
Oh.
Thank you. When he says thank you again, another 30 seconds of shouting. Until like 5 minutes, calm down. Thank you. That's where I learned my thank you. I'll send you the video. It's so funny. And I really felt for him because it sounded like a lot of people were behind him. Maybe if he had won the primaries, maybe Trump wouldn't have won. But, you know, this is political nonsense. Catch you next time.
Catch you next time. We out.
The Sample Access, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.
You're listening to the Sample Access Podcast.